And sometimes it seems as if people wake up each day and turn on the news or go online so they can find out what they need to be angry about that day. Unfortunately, it seems like anger is just a big issue in our day. People are outraged about a whole host of different things. And yet anger is not new to us. Anger is something that God addressed thousands of years ago in the book of Proverbs. And this evening, we want to take some time to consider God's wisdom about the issue of anger. So if you would, open up to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Just another warning. Tonight, like many recent nights, we're going to be moving through the book of Proverbs. So keep your fingers loose and nimble. But we're starting in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. Proverbs 14, 17. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. A man of evil devices is hated. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. In some ways, it's not surprising to think about this. When you're angry, you sometimes do things that later on you wish you had not done. Just one kind of example of this I was thinking of, road rage. I remember a few years back, I was driving down 94 toward Detroit. I saw someone who immediately started honking their horns. They were going crazy. They got up beside this other person, were yelling, and then they ended up swerving off the side of the road and crashing because they were so intent on getting mad at this other person, they ended up harming themselves. They act foolishly. They don't act in what God's wisdom would prescribe, but instead act opposite to that. Go down to verse 29 of Proverbs 24. We'll see a similar idea. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Quick-tempered, hot-tempered, someone who quickly loses their temper and gets angry. And as we look through the book of Proverbs, I'll mention, I think, that one of the issues that comes up is perhaps someone feels as if they've been wronged in some way. And so a quick-tempered person, rather than dealing with the wrong in a way that leads to righteousness and justice, he deals with the wrong in a way that leads to folly. It leads to foolishness. It doesn't promote God and his wisdom. Instead, it exalts folly. And as we go through the book of Proverbs, I want to do so in kind of three broad headings this evening to see about the folly of anger. And the first is to consider the consequences of anger. What does Proverbs tell us about the consequences of anger? And one of the first and most common refrains is that anger brings about strife. Go over to chapter 15 and verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. And then go over to chapter 29 and verse 22. 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. And then chapter 30 and verse 33. For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood. Why does the writer here give these two examples? And I think both of them are pointing to pressure being applied to something. They're pushing against something. You might think, well, butter's pretty good, but then you get to the second and you realize, well, he's not talking about good things. He's just talking about the consequence. You keep twisting a nose, you're going to get some blood. So the churning of anger produces strife. And as I was studying this, I couldn't help but think that many politicians basically make this their life verse, I believe. Their whole goal is to promote and provoke anger and continue to press on that so that then you end up getting upset at whoever else they want you to get upset about. And this is what anger does. It ends up producing conflict and strife and enmity. Anger also leads to personal issues. Go to chapter 19 and verse 19. It brings about personal consequences as well. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. Like the penitent theory is probably the restitution that's required for what he has done. The person who gets upset and smashes someone's car. The person who yells at someone else or hits someone else, and now they have to face the penalty for what they have done. That they will have to bear this penalty. They will suffer it because of their anger. But it doesn't just hurt themselves. It also harms others. Go to 22, verses 24 and 25. 22, verse 24. Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself. We talked about this several weeks back when we talked about friendships and warned that you should not be a friend with an angry person because it will end up harming you. And if I could maybe offer two more encouragements or exhortations in light of this truth that those who are with angry people end up suffering as a result of it, and often I think suffering because they adopt the same practices. That certainly you should never marry someone who's characterized by anger. You shouldn't think, well, it's just a little bit upset every now and then. It's just maybe a little bit of an issue, and I'm sure he'll change. I'm sure she'll change. That Proverbs would say, don't go down that path. But as well, if I could maybe help us to consider as well, if a companion of someone who's angry, someone who is regularly around someone who's angry, ends up getting drawn in and drawn into a snare, then if you're angry, what are you doing to your children? What are you doing to your spouse? You're drawing them in. You're teaching them how to respond in anger. You're teaching them how not to deal with issues that they face. And you are setting a snare for your children with your anger. And anger harms others because ultimately anger is destructive. Go to 27. 27 and verse 4. Wrath is fierce, and anger is a flood. It is fierce, it is cruel and merciless. And it's a flood, the kind of destruction that a flood causes, overwhelming destruction. Now, I don't want to flesh this out too much. But I think it is helpful to remember that the Bible does say some anger is not bad. Proverbs doesn't necessarily point to that, but Ephesians 4 actually says, be angry, but don't sin. And so it's possible to be angry without sinning, and we see this in the life of Jesus. We see him getting angry with those who were despising God and his word. And so it's certainly possible to have a kind of righteous anger versus a sinful anger. And I think this verse might be a help in distinguishing, at least in some ways, between good anger, righteous anger, and sinful anger. Is your anger fierce? Is it cruel? Or is it ultimately loving and edifying? Is it harming others? Or is it building them up? Or is it overwhelming like a flood? Or is it controlled? Is it just going out everywhere, leaving disaster behind? Or is it intended towards the goal of dealing with the issue and bringing about righteousness? And sinful anger is fierce and cruel and destructive. If this is what anger does, it might be helpful for us to consider what causes anger. And that's our second point we want to look at this evening, the cause of anger. And then there's two things that Proverbs points to that lies behind anger. First, I want to see in Proverbs 29 and verse 8. Scorners set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. We talked about the scorner a few weeks back. One of the things that hopefully you remember from that is a scorner is someone who is convinced he is right and his way is right. And I think we might be able to say it this way. One of the causes of anger is arrogance and pride. It's the person who is convinced, I know what is right, I know what is good. And this person in Proverbs 29:8 sets a city aflame, stirs up anger, it incites anger. It brings about mobs and riots, perhaps responding to real or perceived injustice, but doing so in a way that only brings about greater damage. And we'll look at this more later, but notice the contrast here of a wise person. A wise person isn't trying to foment anger. A wise person isn't trying to feed anger. A wise person is trying to get rid of it, to turn it away, to not allow anger to have the destruction it otherwise might have. But as I said, anger is often driven by a kind of arrogance or pride. And maybe it might be easier for us to think about this as we think about little children. Why does a little child get angry? Well, he took what was mine. I wanted it, and now I can't get it. And now I'm going to be angry. I'm not getting my way. I wanted this to eat, and I'm not getting it. I wanted to watch this, and I'm not getting it. And now I'm angry. And we aren't quite as blunt, but we're not that much different. I don't get what I want, and therefore I am angry. My plans have been frustrated. This is standing in the way from what I want to pursue. And in a sense, what are we saying? Well, certainly I should deserve better, right? How could this happen to me? How could this keep me from being able to enjoy what I want to enjoy? And therefore, I'm going to respond with anger. And related to that cause of anger, of arrogance and pride, is the second one found in Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. Now, we don't see anger explicitly in this verse. Yeah, we saw several times over that anger is something that causes strife. We're going to see in a moment a contrast between someone who's anger, who would be angry and therefore not cover up an offense, or a patient person who does cover up an offense. And so I think hatred here is one of the ways in which, or one of the ways anger manifests itself is hatred. And hatred here, don't think a feeling of despising someone else. That really in Scripture, when we think about love and hatred, we should be thinking much less feeling and much more choice. If I love someone, I choose to act in ways that is for their good. And therefore, I would in love cover up a transgression. Because I'm not concerned about me as much as I'm concerned about you. And what's the opposite of that? I'm concerned about me a lot more than I'm concerned about you. And that's what hatred is. Hatred is I'm choosing to act for my own interests rather than yours. I'm choosing to pursue my own desires and put them ahead of yours. I'm pursuing my own selfish ends and purposes. And I don't care what happens along the way. Because then there's strife and conflict that come from it. If those are the causes of anger, I want to finally consider the cure for anger. And I want to do so on two levels. The first is what's the cure for you to try to deal with your anger? How do you address your foolish, sinful anger? And the first and probably most consistent in Proverbs is this. Learn to rule your own spirit. Go to Proverbs 16 and verse 32. 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. Now, that phrase, slow to anger, is one that's used often in the Old Testament, often to actually talk about God. This is one of his characteristics when God reveals his glory to Moses in Exodus 34. The Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And very often as we see this description of God as being slow to anger, it's because he's willing to overlook sin. He's willing to not lash out in wrath against sin, but instead in patience to allow people to repent and to offer forgiveness. And so this patient person, this person who is slow to anger, is one who is willing to overlook sin and to forgive sin. And this person is described as better than the mighty. And the parallel to being slow to anger is the person who rules his spirit. His spirit does not rule him. He's not at the mercy of his own passions and desires. He controls them. And he's better than someone who captures a city. Which I think this verse does tell us, it's not going to be easy. And I want to start here. Because I don't want to think, well, hey, you're angry, just stop it. Stop being angry. It's hard. The person who has the power to control his anger has the kind of strength that could overtake a city. It's the kind of might, it's the kind of real power. Self-control is an incredible strength. But it is possible. That the choice is this. You can allow your anger and your passions to control you, or you can control them. That you are not at the mercy of your anger. You can't say, well, if it wasn't for this person, or it's only because of what that person did, as if the anger is not yours. It's your spirit. It's your temper. And you can either have a short fuse or you can have a long fuse. And we know it's possible. You've heard this before. But maybe you've joked about this. You can be yelling, screaming at your children, and someone comes to the door, and what happens? You change. Or you get the phone call. Immediately your demeanor is different. Why? Because you're not out of control. You're choosing to allow these things to come out. You are giving free rein to your anger instead of pulling it back. Go over to 29 and verse 11. A fool always loses his temper. You might have a note in your NASB, you look at the side, it says, sends forth all his spirit. You might have a translation that says something like, gives full vent to his spirit. And in a sense, you kind of picture it like this. The fool is the person who anger is his horse, and he just says, go for it. Take me wherever you want. Wherever you want to go, anger, I'm along for the ride. But what does the wise person do? A wise person reins it in. He holds it back. He says, I'm the rider. I'm deciding where we're going, when we're going, and how fast we're going. And the horse wants to take off. And the wise person says, no, no, no. We're not going there. I'm in charge. I'm not along for the ride. And this verse is a helpful reminder that the answer is not to just give vent to your anger in better or more creative ways. Occasionally you'll find people who say, okay, so instead of screaming at someone when you get angry, go to a room and scream by yourself. Or instead of, hitting someone, go outside and start yanking weeds out of your garden. Or do an angry dance to get the energy out. And in some ways, that's maybe better, but if I can say it like this, it'd be kind of like saying, you know, when you're chewing tobacco, don't spit it out on the couch, spit it out in a bucket. Is that better? Yes, it's better. But you don't want to be even better? Stop chewing tobacco. Okay, yeah, find more creative ways to give vent to your anger. Or how about this? Stop being angry. And the more you give vent to your anger, the more it will think it's in control. If you continue to lose your temper, to give full vent to your anger, you will continue to be a fool rather than a wise man who works in control. And so perhaps if I can say it this way, one of the important keys is for you to act rather than to react in the situations. That instead of allowing your emotions to begin to work, before you feel that anger kicking in, take steps to keep it in check. And it might even be just as simple as this. You know you're going to talk to someone. You know you're going to be in a situation in which you have a tendency to lose your temper. And so you pray before you go in and say, Lord, I need your help. I don't want to lose my temper this time. Lord, help me to rule my spirit. Help me to develop patience. That phrase we saw, slow to anger, patient, that's described often of God, but is also found in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Because it's ways in which we see the Spirit working and producing things in us. And so how can you move from being an angry person who's quick-tempered and short-fused to being a patient person? Someone who rules his spirit and is long-fused. And one of the keys is going to be you're spending time in God's Word. You're keeping in step with His Spirit. You're allowing His Spirit to guide and control your life. And so again, it might be where you need to say, you know what? Every time I read this thing, every time I listen to this thing, every time I watch this, I just feel my blood begin to boil. And the answer is, well, stop doing that. If you can't control your temper and this is feeding your anger, do something different. Find ways that will build up your patience, that will help you to be long-suffering. And then related to that, go to Proverbs 17:27. Not only do you need to learn to rule your spirit, you also need to keep your tongue in check. Proverbs 17:27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Instead of being someone who's hot-tempered and reacts quickly, someone who's calm and thinks before he speaks, who exercises his wisdom and his understanding and his knowledge as he interacts with others. And then as well, if one of the causes of anger is pride, one of the answers is humility. Go over to 19 and verse 11. A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense or to overlook a transgression. It's his glory. And unfortunately, there are some people who tend to think, you know what really makes me a man of honor? That I won't take offense. We don't duel in our days, but that mindset's still kind of there. Good sir, take that back, and if not, we're going to fight to the death. Because my honor has been besmirched. You have taken my good name and drug it through the mud. And we kind of think, well, you're a little full of yourself there, aren't you? The answer is, yeah, you are, aren't you? And when we get angry because someone's offended us, it's probably because we're a little too full of ourselves. I can't believe they would do that to me. Well, why wouldn't they do that to you? Are you someone that's important? Is an offense against you such an incredible wrong that you need to respond with anger? Or instead, can you have some discretion and prudence and to realize not every offense is something I need to be that worked up about? That perhaps we need to learn to take ourselves a little less seriously. That we're willing to say, in the words of 1 Corinthians 7, in fact, I'm willing to be defrauded. I'm willing to have someone transgress. Wrong. Yes, you have been wronged. But just because you've been wronged doesn't mean you need to rise up in righteous indignation. That instead, you can demonstrate true honor and glory by willing to overlook that transgression. What about for others? For someone in your life that is angry, Proverbs gives us some counsel of what we need to do as we interact with those people. And the first is found in chapter 19, just a few verses down in verse 19. We saw the first part of this verse already. A man of great anger will bear the penalty. For if you rescue him, you only have to do it again. And the first thing we need to do is this. Don't bail that person out. If you have a family member who is controlled by anger, and their anger has got them into a situation in which now they're facing the consequences, Proverbs would say, the worst thing you could do is not allow them to face those consequences. Because you take them away from those consequences, you haven't helped them. They're going to be in the exact same spot. They're going to do it again. But one of the best things you can do is actually to allow them to face the consequences that their anger has brought on. Secondly, Proverbs 15 and verse 1. How do you deal with those who are angry? You respond instead with gentleness. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle, a soft, a soothing, a calming answer. And you've probably seen and experienced this. You've been in a situation when tempers are beginning to rise, and you know I could say A, and I'll really take that other person off. And it'll continue to escalate. Or I could say B, and we could begin to calm things down. Instead of trying to stir up strife, stir up anger, continue to get that flame going. Put a little water on it. Begin to calm it down. And a wise person knows there are often important times in which instead of feeding anger, we should seek to find ways to answer with gentleness. And I think a great example of this in the scriptures is the story of David and Nabal. If you remember that story, David comes to Nabal and says, hey, I've been protecting your flock for a long time. Why don't you give some food for us? And Nabal answers in a way that stirs up anger. He says, who are you? I don't know you. I don't owe you anything. And David becomes livid and gets ready to come and kill Nabal. And what happens? Habakkuk comes along and gives a gentle answer that turns away wrath. And Nabal is what in Hebrew? A fool. We want to follow the path of wisdom. And third, as we interact with others, verse 18 of chapter 15, that we want to calm a dispute with patience. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. And then say it this way, don't join the other person in their anger. If they're angry and you get angry, it's just going to get worse. So they're angry, don't get angry. And again, perhaps you've seen this in play. Because someone who's really angry and they keep going at someone else, and the other person gets angry, what tends to happen? They kind of burn out over time, right? Why aren't you as mad about this as I am? Well, maybe I shouldn't be as mad about it as I am. So if you're able to maintain calm and patience, you in that way can demonstrate greater strength in that person. Even after the dispute started, you can bring the temperature back down. Now, as we think about what Proverbs tells us about anger, I want to close by considering one other important truth to keep in mind in both dealing with our anger and dealing with others who are acting angrily towards us. And that is, once again, to consider the example of Jesus Christ. If anyone ever had the right to say, "I deserve better," it was him, right? How dare you do this to me? What kinds of things did people do to Jesus? They spit on him. They beat him. They mocked him. They falsely accused him. But he humbled himself. He didn't immediately stand up and say, "How dare you?" But he suffered it. Why? Well, Peter tells us he did so because he entrusted his soul to a faithful Creator. I mentioned, I think often in Proverbs, it is talking about injustices and transgressions and wrongs. And when we have been wronged, we want justice. But our anger will not bring about that justice. We can't make every wrong right. But God can and will. And when we're wronged, and when we see injustice, one of the ways we can make sure we don't move from righteous indignation to sinful anger is to come back and trust God. Know that He will make all things right. And therefore, I can demonstrate patience with this other person. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is slow to anger, that you are long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, that you do not treat us according to our sins. So, Lord, help us to demonstrate that we are your children by displaying your character. Lord, help us not to excuse anger. Help us to see how destructive it is, how foolish and sinful it truly is. And help us to flee from it, to turn from it, to pursue wisdom, to pursue patience, realizing, yes, this is a hard path, but it is a path that by your grace we can walk. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.